Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Let me extend my personal welcome to all of you here, especially if this is something new for you. We just love the fact that you choose to spend your Sunday evening here with us. We don't want to take that for granted, so thank you for being here. Also, I want to welcome our friends joining in from all over the world through YouTube and podcast. Thanks for joining in as well. Well, this is the one time of the year. Every year we do this. Sid already explained this. But once a year, we have this building or generosity campaign that we are calling Kingdom Builders. And this year, the theme that we have chosen is legacy. And I love this theme because it reminds us of who we are, where we've come from, the legacy that has been left behind for us. And also, it's a great reminder for us to continue the legacy that has been built up until this point in the life of our church. I love hearing testimony like Alex's, and I know we will hear more stories like that, stories of life change. That's the reason why we built this church. That's the reason why we are here every weekend, every Sunday, is because we believe we have this great news that we need to share to the community around us, that God loves the world. And no matter what you've done, you haven't done, you know, there's always grace, there's always forgiveness, there's always love available for you. And we want to continue to proclaim that message, the legacy that we heard from our grandfathers, from our fathers, and from our parents, from our mentors. We want to pass that along to the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. So we are so privileged to be here. But, you know, when pastors like me talk about money, or talk about giving, talk about generosity, I know some people get very nervous. I know some people get very skeptical, and for the right reason, I believe, because I think churches sometimes take this for granted. Churches have twisted scriptures for their own gain. Churches have manipulated people into giving, not so much for the benefit of the community, for the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of that particular church or that particular minister. And no wonder a lot of people are skeptical when ministers, when pastors talk about money. So I want to start off this evening by sharing with you a few disclaimers that I want to share with you, okay? Disclaimer number one is this. We don't want anything from you, especially if you are visiting with us, you are our guest. We don't want anything from you. In fact, we want something for you. God wants something for you because God wants to do something through you. I believe God has a wonderful plan for your life that is bigger than you are. You don't even realize that you are here in this world for a purpose, not just to make yourself comfortable, but God created you for a reason, for a purpose in this world, to make a difference. I really believe that. And this is the time of the year where we rally around each other to encourage one another to a life of generosity. All right? And here's the deal. If you think this is just our excuse to get your money, let me be the first to say, we don't want your money, if that's what you think of us. But we do want you to try to be, we want you to continue to trust God. We want you to practice generosity and give your money elsewhere. Pick a not-for-profit organization and give your money there. Find some poor people and give your money to them. Find a church from a phone book and give your money to that church. You know, it doesn't matter to us. I think the point is all of us need to realize that we have a wonderful resource on our hand that we know can benefit the people around us when you use that resource, not just on your own, all right? So we don't want anything from you. And number two, we are not in financial trouble. You need to know that. In fact, last year in 2018, our giving is the highest yet in the history of our church, last year. So we are doing fine. Thank you very much. Okay? Thanks to the generosity of the people who caught the vision and mission of this church, I believe our church is unique. You know, we're here to create this space so that people who are far from God can come here and get drawn closer to God, get to know Him a little bit better, that they can have a real encounter with God. So if you ask me, do we need anything in the church? Does the church have need? Of course, our church have needs. We always have needs because there are people to serve, there are ministry to do, there are bills to pay. This year, we plan for our missions budget to be in the six figure, We want to be more of a blessing for overseas mission and for the community where we live. So we're so excited about spending more money because we believe as much as we receive, we need to make sure that it is used accordingly so that God's name will be glorified, so that people will know God. So we are not in financial trouble. We are trusting in the God who richly provides for every single need that we have in this place, all right? And the good thing is God is inviting us to take part in this endeavor. If you don't want to take part, that's fine. God can always use somebody else. You know, God will never lack anything. His church will never lack anything because God is the one who supplies all our needs. All right? That's number two. Disclaimer number three is this. We don't talk about this all the time. If this is your first time coming to church, maybe you're saying, great, I pick a great Sunday to come. The Sunday I choose to come to church, the pastor is talking about money. Well, we don't talk about this all the time, all right? After this series, until the end of the year, our series will be on sex. So please come back, okay? Sex and end times. People's absolute favorite, sex and end times. And John is going to be preaching the message, will there be sex during end times, okay? And it's going to be a great message. Make sure you show up to church on that Sunday. You know, I say this every year as a joke, and people come to me and ask me, I think we should really do it. I think there's going to be a great series. Will there be sex during end time? All right. Well, I feel like we need to take some time to turn to God, just take a brief moment to ask God to guide our time together. Can we do that? Father God, thank you so much for your presence in this place. And God, we do want to open our hearts and our minds to you this evening. If you're real, God, show yourself real. Speak to us like only you can. We're ready to learn. We're ready to listen. Thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Well, whether you like it or not, each one of us, we are leaving a legacy behind. The question is, what kind of legacy are you leaving behind? You know, we have so many virtues outside that we put on the board. Go outside and have a look, and it's wonderful. And I thought about this. I asked myself, if I can only choose one virtue that I can leave behind to my son, Jaden, what virtue would that be? And I thought long and hard because there's so many good virtues, right? Generosity, grace, you know, all these great virtues. But I think if I can only choose one virtue that I can leave behind to my son, Jaden, that virtue would be faith. Because faith is foundational to everything that we do, isn't it? You know, I mean, our whole relationship with God is based on faith. And you can't be a generous person unless you trust God. Right? And that's why if I can choose one virtue, I would choose to leave the virtue of faith to my son, Jaden. You know, whenever you are presented with an opportunity to be generous, you will come to a crossroad where you need to make a decision. And that decision will be derived out of either fear or faith. You will have to make a choice. And I believe for a lot of people, a lot of us, you know, I have faith in humanity, especially followers of Jesus Christ. I believe for many of us, we actually want to be generous. I believe so. We want to be generous. But the problem is, the reason why we're not as generous as we could be for some of us is because we are prone to worry about money. You know, we hear somebody in need, you know, we want to help. We hear our church need help. You know, we want to help. We hear this amazing project. We want to help. But we have this worry, will we have enough for ourselves? That's the question, right? It's a fair question. If I give, will there be enough for me? Will there be enough for my family? I mean, I ask that question myself, and I think that's a fair question. We're not encouraging irresponsible living in this church. By all means, budget. By all means, plan. I think that's a godly thing to do, okay? But if this question becomes front, left, right, and center in your life, that's when it can be damaging for your life. Because what is enough? What's enough for you, you know, is actually a lot for people in some other cultures, right? If you think about it, there will never be such thing as enough. Kids will never have enough toys. Am I correct? Golfer will never have enough golf sticks. Cooks, they will never have enough knives and pots and pans. My wife Hulda will never have enough shoes, let me tell you. But they're cheap and they're on sale. Well, if they're cheap and they're on sale, go ahead, baby, get some more. Why not, right? I love audio, I love sound system. There can never be enough speakers for me. I love to get, mess around with amplifiers and stuff. Again, it's not a wrong question, but if this becomes front, left, right, and center, will there be enough for my future? Will I have enough to pay my mortgage? Will I have enough for my kids' education? Will I have enough for my retirement? By all means, think about such things, but don't let these questions consume you, okay? I want us to do something this evening. I want you to take out your wallet right now. Doesn't matter if you're visiting with us. I want you to play along. This is going to be fun, okay? I want you to take out your wallet or your purse or anything that represents your financial life. Can you do that? Just very quickly. It'll be clear what the purpose is later. But this is going to be fun, okay? Take out your wallet. If you pay using your phone, PayPass or Apple Pay, take out your phone. I put my wallet in my bag, but that's all right. Can you take it out? Done? I'll give you a few more seconds. Hold it. I want you to hold it. That wallet, that purse, that mobile phone in your hand. Now, I want you to give that to the person sitting next to you. Just kidding. Okay. I know we're at church, but I have my boundary. That's why I draw the line. Now, I want to ask you a question this evening, and the question is this. Are you holding it, or that whatever it is that represents your financial life, are you holding it, or is it holding you? Are you managing it, or is it managing you? Are you controlling it, or is it controlling you? It's a very important question that we need to wrestle with, because a lot of you don't even think about that. You think you are managing and controlling your money when the actual fact is that money is actually controlling you and controlling your life. How do you know? When you are worried about money, that means it's a good indication that money might be controlling your life. For those of you who don't have enough, you're worried that you're not going to have enough. For those of you who have enough, you're worried that what you have may not be enough. If that's what you're thinking, maybe money is controlling you. So this evening, we want to learn together from Jesus, all right? Especially for those of you who are skeptical about pastors like me talking about money. This evening, it's not going to be Daniel Indrajaya preaching to you. I want to let Jesus preach to you, okay? I want you to imagine with me, transport yourself to 2,000 years ago. You are sitting on the hills of Galilee, listening to the very teaching of Jesus. Thank God it's preserved for us by a physician by the name of Luke. And we're going to read this teaching, this amazing teaching from Jesus about this very thing. And I want you to open your heart and your mind and listen to what Jesus is telling you this evening. Can we do that? Can you imagine? Smell the grass, people. Smell the grass, okay? Here's how it starts in verse 15. Then he, that is Jesus, said to them, the disciples. So Jesus was talking to a group of his followers. These are not some weird strangers, but the people who follow him, the people who believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Wow, what a strong beginning from Jesus. A lot of us, we like to guard our home. We like to watch out for thieves that might want to break into our house, right? Pando, can I have that? But what Jesus is saying is this. What's more important than putting CCTV on your house, than putting alarm system on your house, is to have to guard your heart. Jesus said, have you ever considered guarding your heart against all kinds of greed? That means greed is on the prowl. Greed is out to get you. They're going to come and take possession of your life. They're going to take over your life. So Jesus was saying, watch out. Be very careful. Be very vigilant. Guard your heart. Make sure you put a padlock on your heart against all kinds of greed. Thank you, Pando. That's how Jesus started his teaching, and immediately I believe the disciples, wow, you know, never thought about guarding. I mean, we thought about guarding our possessions, but guarding our heart, but that's actually very, very important. In verse 16, Jesus used a parable to make his point. He told them this parable. That means it's a made-up story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Verse 18, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Maybe you heard of that phrase before. You didn't realize it came from the Bible. But that's what this rich man said. And then in verse 20, the story continues, but God said to him, you fool. Everyone say, you fool. You fool. Not you sinner, but you fool. This is a very stupid thing to do. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Apparently, when you're rich, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be rich toward God. You fool, God said to this rich man. I heard a story about another rich man who had a particularly stupid servant. And he was so frustrated with this stupid servant and one day in his frustration, he called his servant and he said to him, you must be the most stupid person that I've ever known. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this staff. So he gave him a staff. I want you to take this staff and I want you to go and find another person who is more stupid than you. And if you find that person, I want you to bring that person to me because I don't think you will find any because you are the most stupid person that I know. And the servant being a stupid servant that he was, he went out to the marketplace trying to talk to people, trying to find people who are more stupid than him. But, you know, he found a few, but he wasn't sure if they were more stupid than him, but he couldn't find any, so he couldn't give the staff to anybody. So for years, he was holding on to that staff until one day, his master fell really, really ill, and his master was about to die. So he came to his bedside. His master called him, actually, and his master said to his stupid servant, I'm going to a faraway place. And then the servant asked him, when are you coming back, master? And the master said, this place where I'm going, I can't come back from. Oh, and the servant asked, have you prepared yourself for this trip? And the master said, no, I haven't. The servant asked again, could you have prepared for this trip? Master said, I suppose I could have, but I didn't. I was too busy doing something else that I thought was important. So the servant said, so you're telling me that you are going to a place that you cannot come back from. You could have prepared for it, but you didn't. So here's the staff. Finally, I found someone more stupid than I am. And that's exactly what Jesus was trying to say. Like, you stupid fool. Not because he was, mean, not because he was a bad person. No, he was just a fool because he prepared for his future, but not long enough, apparently. So my question to you this evening is this. Because all of us will cross that line someday. We're not going to live here forever. So my question to you is this. What do you want people to celebrate about you when you're gone? What legacy, in other words, do you want to leave behind? It's a very important question. And if you don't deliberately try to answer this question, your appetite will take away all your resources. Let me tell you. Because your appetite for more stuff, your appetite for whatever it is, will force you to answer this question, maybe in a way that you don't want it answered, right? If you don't intentionally try to answer this question yourself, this is going to be the legacy that you will leave behind. He ate, he drank, he was merry, then he died. She ate, she drank, she was merry, then she died. That's not how you live. That's not a life of legacy, let me tell you. All right? So Jesus continued. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes." In other words, Jesus said, you know, you're worried about the wrong thing. You're worried about the clothes that you wear. It doesn't matter how nice your clothing are. There's something a lot more important than clothing. It doesn't matter how great the food that you eat. There's a lot of things in life that are more important than just the food that you eat and the clothes that you wear. Your relationship with God is the most important of all. Knowing that you have this relationship with your Creator God, that is the most important thing. Your body will die, but your soul will live on forever. So this is what Jesus is saying. The reason why you shouldn't worry about money is this. You should not worry about money because your soul, what you can't see, is way more important than your body. Your body will pass on someday, but your soul, you got to think about that. You got to think about your future. I mean, if you're not a Christian here this evening and you don't believe in life after death, I mean, that's fine. But if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you got to think about this, right? We have eternity to live after this life is over. Have you prepared yourself for that? Again, I'm not saying that you can buy your way into heaven. Salvation is only by God's grace through faith, all right? This is not talking about salvation. It's not talking about how we get accepted by God. God accepted us because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross who died for our sins. That's it. There's no cost, no money to pay, nothing. But how you live your life will affect how you live for the rest of eternity, okay? Jesus continues, "Consider the ravens." Then he gave this amazing example. "They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. So how much more valuable you are than birds." This is a simple example, simple illustration used by Jesus, but it's a very powerful one. Again, the point that he was trying to make is this. You shouldn't worry about money. You shouldn't worry about your future. Why? Because God cares so much more for you than he does for the birds. You know, in philosophy, this is known as an argument from the lesser to the greater. An argument from the lesser to the greater. The argument goes like this. If God, in this instance, cares about the lesser, which is the ravens, scavenger birds. People don't care about the ravens. Kids actually throw stones at them and play with them, right? Jesus says, God cares so much more for the ravens. How much more will God care about you? The ravens being the lesser, we human being the greater. Now, I don't have a raven to show you, but I do have a guest star that I want to show you to illustrate what Jesus is trying to say. Everybody, let's welcome Lily to the stage. Come on. Oh, look at that. Oh, cool. Hey, Lily. Everybody, this is Ming, and that's Lily. This is not Lily. This is Lily, and this is Ming. And Ming is actually the father of Chloe, our youth pastor, and Paige. Chloe is there. Paige is maybe backstage. Ming, can you tell us a little bit more about Lily? How old is Lily and how did you get her?
Hello, everyone. This is Lily. She's 8 months old. So in human life, about 4 years old.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Only a baby.
Only a baby. Yep. Yeah. And we got Lily from Bundaberg, Queensland. And we flew her here about 5 months ago. Yeah, she's part of our family now.
Okay. What did she fly?
She fly Qantas Premium.
Qantas Premium. I fly Air Asia. Okay. And tell me Lily's day-to-day activities. What does she do?
She sleeps a lot. She eats a lot, 3 meals a day. And she plays a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she work?
No.
Okay. And what does she eat?
She don't eat any dog food. We feed her roast pork, minced meat, chicken breast. That's one of her dinner.
Wow.
We don't feed her pet food. We feed her a lot of fruits as well. She loves mandarins and apple and treats.
Amazing. And how much does that cost you roughly every week to feed Lily?
It works out to be about $30.
$30 a week.
A week, yeah. All
right. Jaden's allowance is only 20.
You hear that? Yeah. Hear that? $20.
Great. One final question for you, Ming, and answer me honestly. Who do you care more, Lily or Chloe?
Cover your ears. That's a hard question. No, but the truth is, obviously, it's Chloe.
Okay.
Even though she make fun of me and say I've got a Singaporean accent.
You almost ruined my illustration there, but thank you very much. Everybody give a hand to Ming
thank you.
Lily. It's very obvious, isn't it? I mean, Lily is so cute. I mean, look at that. I mean, hang on, let me go back. Does that look like a face that's worried to you about where her next meal is going to come from? Obviously not, yeah? I mean, if God cares about the birds, how much more does God care about you? If Ming cares so much about Lily, how much more does he care about his daughters? Obviously. Argument from the lesser to the greater. So that's why Jesus says this. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? There are a lot of things in life that you can't control. But God is the creator of the whole universe. He's in control of everything. Why do you have to worry about things that you cannot control? So trust me. That's the point of Jesus. You got to trust me. I take care of the birds. I can take care of you. And then he launched to another example. Again, an example of, you know, an argument from the lesser to the greater. Jesus says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And I want to show you the wildflowers of WA to make a point here, okay? Look how beautiful the wildflowers are that God has created for us. And a lot of this is just for his own pleasure. Look at that. How amazing are the designs. And I look at this lilies, for example, that purple ring around the white petal. A lot of designers copied God's design, basically, in how they design their clothing and stuff. So don't worry. You know what people do with these flowers? Because they don't have heater in the winter, they will cut all these wildflowers and they would throw them into a furnace to make themselves warm. And Jesus continues by saying this, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You say you believe in me, but you really don't have any faith. I mean, this goes right smack into our very problem of worrying over our food, worrying over our money, right? Because at the end of the day, when you worry about your money, when you worry about your finance, it shows that you don't have faith in God. Paul says in Romans, if God gave you Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, what is it that he wouldn't give you? Now, this is the opposite of the argument that Jesus was using. This time is the argument from the greater to the lesser. If God has given you Jesus, the greater, do you think he will not give you food? Think about it. If God gave you his very best, Jesus, you want money? You want food? You want clothing? You think God can't provide you with all those? So don't worry. Don't worry about your life. God can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. The worst thing about worry is not that it damages you, it reduces your life. I read a lot of scientific review about how stress actually kills people. But that's not even the worst thing. The worst thing about worry is that it dishonors our loving Heavenly Father. You're basically telling the world that God cannot be trusted. If you see Jaden in the hallway and Jaden looks skinny and he looks, you know, sick, you ask him, hey, what's wrong, Jaden? And Jaden said to you, I'm not sure if Dad's going to feed me tonight. Man, number one, you would report me to the police, maybe. But number two, you would think very badly of me, like, what kind of father is Daniel? He can't even take care of his own son. You know, it dishonors me when I don't take care of Jaden. Am I right? It's the same thing. When you're worried about your finance, when you're worried about money, it dishonors your loving Heavenly Father. Yeah. You know, you don't want to do that, right? And so this is how Jesus wrap up his argument. He said, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows what you need. God knows what you need, and because He's our good Heavenly Father, He will be more than happy to supply you much more than you need. We have a lot of things in this world that we don't really need, right? We don't really need a car. I have a car. You know, I don't have to have a house. I can rent, but God, you know, in His kindness, gave me a house. There are a lot of things that we don't need, but God still gave it to us anyway. How much more stuff that you need? You know, this year, Jaden grew up really, really quickly. He's actually taller than his mom now. This is amazing to me. I remember him when he was like so little. Jaden plays soccer, and soccer season just started. And a couple of months ago, he was, you know, starting his training, and he came back home telling me, "Dad, my shoes don't fit anymore. They hurt me." And I said, "Jaden, we just bought those shoes like 6 months ago, literally. I know that, but they hurt because they're too small now." But Jaden, being a conscious boy, you know what he told me? He said, "Dad, just get me cheap pair of shoes. Just get me $10 shoes." Come on, I'm a good father. I'm not the richest man in the world. I will not buy my son $10 pair of shoes, right? So I bought him $11 pair of shoes. No. I gave him good, proper shoes, okay? Because I love my son, you know, only the best for my son. Well, the best that I can afford, right? But that's the heart of the father. And think about it. I'm not a better father than God. If I feel like that toward Jaden, how much do you think God feels toward you? How much He wants to provide for you and meet all your needs and more? So you got to trust. At the end of the day, generosity is a question of trust. If you don't trust God, of course, it's going to be difficult for you to be generous. But if you trust God more and more, it's going to be easier for you to live a life of generosity. That's why Jesus concluded by saying this, "But seek His kingdom." The world seek after material things, but you are different, Jesus says. "But seek His kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well." All these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about it. And then after this verse came one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I didn't even realize it was there. I read my Bible so many times. Sometimes, you know, that's what happened. You don't realize what you were reading. And when I read this next verse in preparation for this message, I literally cried and I said to God, "God, forgive me, because I don't trust you as much as I thought I do." But this next word from Jesus, it's very tender. Imagine Jesus whispering this to you, okay? Imagine yourself still sitting on the hill of Galilee and Jesus is whispering this to you personally, to your ear. This is what Jesus says. "Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. He's a good shepherd. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows you're afraid. He knows you have the tendency to worry over stuff." And Jesus is saying to us right now, "Don't be afraid, little flock." Can you feel the tenderness in that sentence? Can you feel the heart? Can you feel the love of Jesus? "For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You want food? You want a car? God has prepared you the whole kingdom for you. Come on. "You can trust me," Jesus says. You know, in any church, including ours, there are two kinds of Christians. I'll conclude with this, okay? There are two kinds of Christians. Let's call them Ron and Don. Ron and Don, you know, just like us, they're regular people. They have a financial goal. They want to go from A to B. They have needs to meet. Yeah, they have mortgage to pay, kids to feed, retirement to plan, holiday to go to, and all that. That's great. Say Ron and Don, they go to the same church, they listen to the same sermon, they even belong to the same small group, so they listen to the same teaching, and they have the same goal, similar goal, financially. So Ron had this conversation with God. Ron said to God, "God, I have this plan to go from A to B, and I do the math, I budget everything, and I believe that it's going to be very difficult for me to give anything to you because I don't think I have enough even for myself. I've done the calculation. For me to go from A to B, it will require me to spend 100% of my income. So I'm sorry, God, but I can't give to you. As much as I want to, I can't give to you, at least not at this point. Yeah, Ron gives from time to time to church, you know, $10 here, $20 there, but it's more of a tip than a sacrifice to God. I mean, Don, on the other hand, also has the same financial goal as Ron, and Don had this conversation with God, and Don said, God, I believe you. I want to put you first in my life. I want to seek your kingdom first. So I've decided to set aside 10% to give to my local church because my local church is doing a great thing for the kingdom, proclaiming the message of the gospel. So I want to believe you. I want to trust you with the 90% of my income because I set aside 10% for you. And God, this is what I believe. I believe you can take care of me. I believe you love me more than the birds. I believe that you can get me from point A to point B. I believe I can do more with the 90% with you than I can do on my own with my 100%. If it means I have to change my lifestyle and all that, I will do it, but I trust you with my life. You know, God said something back to Don. God said, Don, if that's how you feel toward me, if you put me and my kingdom first, let me tell you, not only will I help you get from point A to point B, but I'm going to give you C. I'm going to give you these supernatural blessings that no one else can experience. I'm going to give you this divine favor, not necessarily financially, but you will experience things that nobody else will experience unless they trust me. You're going to leave a legacy behind. You will have stories to tell to your children, to your grandchildren, because you trust in me. Now, the amazing thing about these two individuals is this. Both of them think the other one is an idiot, right? I mean, Ron thinks, Don, you're an idiot. You believe whatever your pastor says. You drink the whole Kool-Aid, and what's going on? You got to take care of yourself. You got to look out for number one. Who's going to take care of you? Will you have enough for your future? Will you have enough for your retirement? And so on. You're crazy. And Don thinks likewise toward Ron as well. I said, Ron, have you not read the scriptures? How can you tell me that you trust Jesus for your eternal life, but you can't trust him for your life here on earth? Come on, who's the crazy one? Who's the idiot here? My question to you as we conclude is this. What kind of idiot do you want to be? Either way, you know, maybe people will call you an idiot for doing what you do. But the question is, what kind of idiot do we want to be? We have this amazing story of generosity from one of our own, Paul and Angie Ryan. And it's a short 2-minute video that I want to show you. I trust that this video will encourage you, that you belong to a community of faith where people inside are really, really generous. And we want to be generous together as a community of faith here. And I will come back after this video and conclude us with a word of prayer. Let's watch this.
For nearly 20 years, we attended a church that was not in our local area. We had traveled from the hills and from the city of Canning to the same church. 3 years ago, we decided it was time to attend and contribute to a church in the local community where we now live. The New Rocks Church and the slogan at the front, "No Perfect People Allowed," caught our attention. I attended not long after the new building opened. Angie was apprehensive at first, but attended the Rock shortly after, and we both took the 6-week visit challenge on the website. The challenge was to attend the Rocks for 6 weeks straight and see if it met our expectations, and it certainly did.
We found the environment very warm and welcoming. There were so many volunteers who also made us feel like we belonged. The music ministry and the professional manner in which the church operates sets itself apart from many other more traditional churches. The standard of teaching by not only Pastor Daniel, but all the other supporting pastors has been really appreciated and has touched us on a personal level on many occasions.
But what really resonates with us the most is the Rock's vision to reach the wider local community, especially those far from God, and lead them to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Really resonates with us, as that is the Great Commission. We love how super intentional the church is in prioritising people who are not yet in the church and people who are already in the church. We strongly believe that there are fundamental signs of a vibrant and growing church. They are a strong focus on children and young adults ministries, local and overseas mission, regular baptisms, and preaching the message of the cross, and all people are welcome, no matter their past.
Paul and I have now made the Rocks our home. We are proud to invite family, friends, and even people we don't know to the Rocks, as we are confident they will be welcomed and will receive a message that will personally touch them. We consider it a privilege to give to the Rocks because of its clear vision, the programs are well planned, and a kingdom building. We also recognise there is good stewardship of the church funds.
Giving to the Rocks is a joy and a natural habit for us, where we set aside a regular amount and give it first to God through our local church. This is a sacrificial process where our lifestyle priorities are changed. God loves a cheerful giver, and there have been times where we have received non-monetary reverse blessings. At the end of the day, we give because we trust. We trust the Rocks has a special and unique vision that needs to be funded. Why wouldn't you fund a vision that prioritises reaching people who are far from God to know the love of Jesus Christ? But most importantly, we trust God. We trust that God is our good Heavenly Father who is more than able to take care of our needs. If He takes care of the birds of the air, what do we have to worry about? Surely He will take care of us because we are worth so much more to Him than birds.
How you use your finance will determine whether you leave a legacy of faith or a legacy of fear to your children. What will your legacy be? Why don't you stand up on your from your seat, and we're going to close our time here together. Thank you so much for leaning in, and I want you to keep coming back. Next week, we're going to do something amazing. You're going to hear more stories of life change in our church. It's going to be inspirational. It's going to be amazing. Make sure you come, bring a friend, and together, on the last Sunday, the 30th of June, why don't we come together and give our very best to God. Doesn't matter what you give. Different amount equals sacrifice. That's the philosophy that we have here. Everybody has a part to play in this church, okay? So would you prayerfully consider, take the booklet home and pray and ask God how He wants you to take a part in Kingdom Builder this year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.